so little. Man's understanding is so limited. Can that really be the answer to all that there is? So, Solomon was in despair and was hopeless. And so, in our present chapter, he approaches the question from a different angle. He's still searching. He's still on a quest to answer those questions. That we'll see this morning is one that we are all too familiar with. Sadly, our society is all too familiar with these ways of trying to understand who we are. So Solomon continues to seek, continues to search. St. Augustine, we've talked about him a lot in this series so far, he was a seeker. He was a searcher like Solomon. He searched many paths. He went down the path of monachism. He went into semi-Pelagianism. He went into hedonism and pleasure-seeking. Sometimes I encourage you to read St. Augustine's Confessions. It talks about his conversion. And at the close of his search, he concluded one thing, and this is the third week in a row I'm going to mention this. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Thee. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Thee. Solomon's heart here in chapter 2 is restless. He has not found rest. He has not found peace. He has not found satisfaction. His heart is restless. Where will he end up? Remember, this is autobiographical. He's telling us of his search for the truth, his search for meaning, his search for purpose. Verses 1 through 2, look what he says. I said in my heart, my very being, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. Test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. I used to teach a required freshman religion class in college. I always began the class the same way each year. I asked these 18-year-old students who were coming in, fresh students, fresh meat for the professor, and I would ask them to write a paragraph explaining their reasons for attending college. Frequently, the answer was simple. I'm here to have fun. My job was to dissuade them of that reality. I remember one young lady wrote, I've come to college to ski. There wasn't a ski slope within 4 hours. Solomon is now going to take that collegiate attitude and use it to find meaning and purpose in life. He will test things, as he says, quote, with pleasure. And that word in the Hebrew means exactly what you think it means. It reflects the ideas of amusement, laughter, and fun. In other words, the preacher here decides to cast off all cares of life and live an existence of sensuous pleasure. That's his answer here in his quest. The Greek philosopher Aristippus from the 5th, 4th century B.C. formalized hedonism into a philosophy or a world and life view. Listen to what he said. He believed that happiness is the chief goal of life, and pleasure-seeking is the way to achieve true happiness. He said pleasure is the highest good. Pleasure is the greatest virtue. Aristippus my body with wine. My heart still guiding me with wisdom and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. That second part of that verse is really the key, one of the keys to understanding this book. What his quest is. Look what it says. That I might see, that I might understand what is good for men during their lives. That I might understand that, see that. And what's one of the ways he does it? Well, here is external stimulation. He goes down another path in his quest for truth. He seeks to lead his flesh with wine. He's employing this external stimulant to help him acquire meaning and understanding and purpose. You think, most of us sitting here think, well, that's silly. But it's not silly. That's what half our society does. They go into drugs. They go into alcohol. What are they looking for? What happens? These people seek freedom and meaning and drugs and alcohol, and what happens to them is they become enslaved to it. There it is again. There's no question this path does not give the answer to who am I? How do I fit in this world? What is this world? Why am I here? What's the meaning of this? Well, now he goes to the third part of his quest. Look at verses 4 through 8. Another one that we know all too well. Look what he says. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the children of man. And these verses are a staccato list of things that Solomon has amassed in his life. And indeed, the items, you compare these items to the book of 1 Kings that talks about produces self-centeredness, selfism, and self-indulgence, all wrapped together in one. And let me tell you again, there's nothing new under the sun. This almost defines our culture. Almost defines who we are. It's living life without material restraint. Whatever was on his plate, Solomon ate. profit under the sun. That's that economic term that he had used at the beginning of the book when he asked, what profit is there for man in all his toil? He's saying there is no profit. He has everything economically, and he's saying, in reality, there is no profit to it. That's his answer. Materialism does not really profit anyone. St. Augustine again. Book Confessions. In his quest for meaning, he drew the same conclusion when he said the following. Take this to heart. He said, earthly riches are full of poverty. Earthly riches are full of poverty. Earthly riches can never satisfy the soul. In fact, when you think about it, earthly riches do the opposite by increasing one's desire for more. Thomas Fuller was right when he said this, riches rather enlarge than satisfy